I want to touch base, bouncing on ambassadors. Remember, as a follow-up, 2 Corinthians, we were there last week. We talked about 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21, reconciliations and things of that nature. And as we got down to verse 20, talked about after all the reconciliations, he says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ," as Paul shares here. "We are now ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." Can you believe that? God is pleading. He's taking you to take his word, to go forth and to plead his case, to plead what he has for those around you. And so we wanted to look at that. We did touch upon that ambassador. But that's what my verse is for today, 2 Corinthians 5:20, New King James. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Amplified Classic says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us, we as Christ's personal representative." Wow! Isn't that exciting? That we are Christ's personal. To be a personal representative, that means you got to know somebody, right? To be personable with somebody, you got to know them. You want to have them a part of what you're doing. So as Christ's personal representative, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and to be reconciled to God. Our mission is to show love. Our mission is to spread the gospel. We were saved to reconcile us back to God. We were saved to be cleansed of our sins so that we could be back given that ability to go back to heaven when our time on this earth is finished, that we go back and we are there now with our Heavenly Father. But before that could be done, he had to reconcile us back. He had to, with the atonement of Jesus' blood, the cleansing of our sins. We know the story there, but there's so much more than just being saved, and it's so much more than just knowing that, oh, well, when I am out of here, I'm going to a much better place. It's like we have a purpose and a plan that God has for us while we're here, because he didn't just save you to set you aside or for us to think that, oh, well, now that I'm saved, I can just coast through the rest of my life, whatever that might be. He gives us this direction to become ambassadors. Remember I shared last week, an ambassador, a representative, a ruling authority, ambassadors would be chosen from the ranks of mature, experienced individuals. For America and the countries, it's to represent that nation in other nations. To be an ambassador for God requires one to have spiritual maturity. We've shared off and on that as far as we got to stop being babes of the word, and we've got to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to develop. How long do you need to be fed the milk of the word? You got to grow up to get to the meat of the matter, right? And so that's what we need to do. And a lot of that to become eating the meat of the word is that. That's actually, one time I looked that up, and you know, sometimes you know, think pastors and those trying to share and encourage people is like, oh, I'm responsible for feeding them the meat of the word. No, I read it somewhere, and it was phrased this way, that as you're a babe in Christ, you should begin to be excited and learn and desiring on your own to go out to find that steak, to find that pub burger, whatever it might be. But we individually need to have a hunger to say, I want to dig deeper into what God has. Now, we can get deeper into those things. And I believe in church circles, it's through Bible studies, it's through other avenues of teachings throughout the week. But as we come into a Sunday morning service, generally all we can try to do is feed the milk of the word to the people. Now, I'm looking here, and we know everybody and where they're at, probably with that of God, and you're not baby Christians, but you have to be ready in case somebody comes in that's not of that, and you start on a Sunday morning shoving a steak down them, the meat of the word, And it'll gag them. It'll make something to the point that they will say, I cannot do that. It's far beyond me. Well, they're saying those things because they've not sat under enough teachings to know and hearing God's word of the milk of the word that we make it palatable to where they begin to understand what God is saying through that of Jesus and then what the Holy Spirit is saying as Jesus went back to be at the right hand of God. And so we are on our own journey. Talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's not for me to save you. It's for me to share the word of God and what God's word says, that you can be reconciled back, that your sins can be and will be forgiven if you come to that of Jesus. And Jesus tells us there's only one way to the Father. One way only. And Jesus says, I am that way. I am that door. And so we've got to get the clarity of that, because people come in and they might have heard all kinds of things and stories out there of, I've been good, I'm going to heaven. I did a good deed, I'm going to heaven. I got money and paid tithes, I'm going to heaven. I helped build the church, I'm going to heaven. No, 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 no. Not unless you've received Jesus Christ, the very foundation of your beginning of walk. And if you do all those other things, that's great. But sometimes people hear those things and they lull themselves, and sometimes the world will lull them into believing that I'm all good now. And they're not. Oh, it's through this, you know, say so many Hail Marys and say so many of this or whatever the case is. And it's not to knock any denomination or religion. It's like you've got to get a foundational understanding of what, not what man, don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to do what I say is what I read out of his sayings, the Bible. I don't need to put my spin on it to say, well, this is what you need to do. I would say, this is what God says you need to do. This is what Jesus said you need to take care of. This is what God calls sin. I'm not calling it. He's calling it. We just need to hook them up to the trueness of God's word, the reliability of God's word, to where they begin that step like we all began. We all started on square one. Amen. We all were sinners saved by grace. So we all had a beginning start. And where we're at, it depends on you individually, where you're going. So as we look at this, and I think as we look at the ability of an ambassador, it should give us the thought process that this is serious business. This is just not a party. Although when you come to Christ, it's a party. You know, all heaven rejoices. The angels, everything's like, ta-da! A lost soul has been saved. A lost soul will be coming home. So it is a party, but it's a seriousness of what we are charged with. And I don't know how much more can God say in his word through different avenues, through that of Jesus, through a lot, through Paul and Peter and John, all these different ones. But they're all focused on one thing: to share it with those back then the responsibility that they have to be now ambassadors of the Word of God. In the Bible, an ambassador would be an official representative sent by a sovereign authority. Who's our sovereign authority? Jesus. God. He's our sovereign. To deliver a message. What's the message? You can have a relationship with Christ again, through our God, through that of Christ, his Son, died on the cross for you. We deliver that message. So it's to be sent by a sovereign authority to deliver a message, negotiate or establish terms in a foreign land, rather than just a political envoy. The biblical definition would center on being that of a trusted person who fully embodies the will, the character, and the authority of the sender. Jesus said, go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out and share this. And it happened on Pentecost Sunday. The church was born. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They left from there, and then the message spread. The message is still spreading today because of us and those that are going out and sharing what is being given to us to hand to others. So to think of a God's ambassador, we could look at it to represent here on this earth. We are to not make up our own message. You don't have to make up a message. All you got to do is share the true message. But we are entrusted with the good news, the message that we received from that of Jesus by reading his word, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, to have the Spirit lead us and guide us into the truth and understanding. And if you read God's word and you don't understand it, just sit a little bit and ask God to break it apart for you. What's this mean, God? What's this mean in my life? What is this to affect me? What is it, God? And he will, I know, share it with you. We also need to look at our actions and our words. Our actions, our word, our character, it truly needs to reflect who? Ourselves? No, that of Christ. And where is Christ at? He ascended back to the Father, the right hand. So Jesus left us a commission to do, but he didn't leave us alone to do it on ourselves. That's why he said, I go, so the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, he's coming. So we are never alone in sharing the message of God. He's right there with us. But we got to make sure it's his message, not our message. Then Christians are ambassadors in that they've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. God has to entrust us to go and share the truth of God's word. Not bend it, not twist it, not make it palatable for the world and allow the world to water it down. It's not to try to meet a, well, let's share his word and let's just have a happy median. No. It's all of God's word. It would be like all the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. We got to share it in the totality of what it is. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't water it down. Don't try to appease the people to say, well, I'll just share this, and if they want to say that and believe that, that's okay. I'm just going to let it go at that, but at least I shared this or that. It's like you've got to be led by the Spirit. You got to be in the trenches of knowing and sharing, and they're going to look at us through your life, through your actions. Remember I said your actions, your words, your character. What is it representing to those around you? 1 Thessalonians 2:4. What does it say? But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but who? Pleasing God, who test our hearts. We want to please God, right? We want to please God. How do we do that? One of them is, let's break it, look at it a little bit here. We've been approved by God to be entrusted. The ability to share the gospel is not by our achievements. It's not an actual, you know, you look at that, it's like some people, I guess, and it's good to go to the schools, it's good to go to the all the schools and theological schools and things like that, but that's learning in man and you're developing your own. What he's saying here, the ability to share the gospel is not by human achievement. Just because I got a diploma doesn't mean that I can share the word. The word's got to be within you. The word's got to be the truth of God in you to share. Many people out there have a lot of high degrees on their walls, and they're leading people astray and telling them some false hopes, and they're bending what God says is sin because they want to appease to everyone to come in. Well, we want everyone to come in, but you're going to have to change. We had shared, not really deep into it, but we talked about the sanctification part of things, and to where it's a continuation of sanctification, to where every day we're getting closer to him because we've got to get rid of more junk that's in us and be sanctified closer to him. I don't think, and as I shared before, just once I said salvation prayer, received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that I was completely sanctified to the point that I didn't have any more worldly stuff in me. This worldly stuff in me had to be worked out by process. It had to be worked out by reading the Word. It had to be worked out by attending church, hearing messages, hearing Bible studies. It had to be worked out by me praying, by what I received on my own personal time of reading God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to work within me to show things in me that Tim had to work on, just like everyone here individually. It's an individual thing that you work on yourself. And you're sanctifying, being set apart more and more and more to who? God. So we have to look at that. Not pleasing man, but God. A core theme in what Paul writes. It warns against, and a lot of that was going on back then, and there's a lot of it going on today, people pleasers. Do you want to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? The temptation to dilute or conceal the spiritual truths of God's Word to avoid conflict or to become popular. I don't follow a lot of pastors or religious things online and different ministries, and some are great and some are kind of questionable, but there are some that I've seen and follow in the past and kind of touched upon a little bit on my own personal time. And it seems like a lot of it is they like to sometimes appease people. I think that we call tickling their ears. Anything to build a church. Anything to get more people in the seats, getting more donors, to look good. And looking good is only in the good of sight of man. Because what is God's Word? We might get to that here too. Is that man looks on the outside, God looks on the inside. And so a lot of these things are superficial. And there are some great, large churches, praise God. But there's also some great, large churches that are diluting the Word. And there's even small churches doing the same thing. So it's not relegated to just the large, big churches. It's big, small, in between, okay? It's just that every church, every leader, every pastor, whatever is standing before the people is, you're going to have to take an account for what you share with the people and what did you do to bring them to that of Christ. And so that's where God's Word talks about that many of people that we see and their actions go, wow, they're going to be in heaven, probably the front row of the choir loft. You get there and guess what? They might, and I work on this. I don't want to stand before that of Christ and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's those things that's in the back. It's not that I'm fearful that I'm not going to make that, but that's one of those things that when you read God's Word and there was a lot of fantastic things being done and they cast out many things and they healed this and did that and followed this and did that, but it was with the wrong motive. It was not the totality of what they were to do and to give that to that of God. And so here again, guys, as we read his word, there's many things in his word that we need to hold on to kind of keep us in check with what God says. So we've got to be aware that we're sharing this. It's got to be the total truth of God's word. We're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to try to win a popularity contest. You know, that's sometimes the hardest thing for a small town pastor or a pastor anywhere. If some of their congregation watches some of these big TV pastors and they go, wow, what a message. It was so great. We would have evangelists come through and they would have a wonderful message, right? Evangelist is to come and share the gospel and get people stirred up to the point of think of your heart and where it's at, and they would have an altar call and things, and that's all well and good. They would leave and the people is, oh, man, his message or her message was powerful. It was great. The thing is, go to the next venue that they went to and guess what they shared? Probably the same message. And some of them just kept sharing the same thing. So I tell you what, after 5 or 10 or 15 times, you've got it polished pretty good. And it may not be a bad message. I'm not saying if they're sharing the word of God that it's bad, but the people look at it and they're so eloquent and this and that, and then they look at, they come to church the next Sunday and they go, wow, it was kind of like, eh, with our pastor. We'd have one gentleman, he'd pack the house all week. He'd leave on Friday. Sunday would come. We would open up church. Here we are. Oh, well, there's, at that time, it might be, oh, there's 50 of us. That's great. But where's the other 50 or 75 that were here all through the week? You know, they come to hear, then they go. And so I feel, and it's not for myself, but for pastors, sometimes it could kind of work on their psyche a little bit, unless, as a pastor, I've got to lay all that aside, even you aside, and I've got to just focus on my relationship with who? God. And be happy and satisfied where I'm at, and I am, and all I want to do is I want to give God the glory. I want to say what my Father say. I want to follow what Jesus did. He did that. I do that. If we all did that, wouldn't that be great? And so God be the glory. Great things He's done. As we go through the world, we represent another kingdom. We know that. We're not of this kingdom, of this earth. We're of another kingdom. In John 18:36, I'll give you, you know, I probably have it on my paper, but I like to kind of turn there in my Bible, only because I feel like if I'm turning, hopefully you're turning, and by the time I get there, you're getting there, and that way I can give you time to kind of get ready. So we're looking at John 18:36. Jesus answered. And now he's in Pilate's court, and they're talking, and he was led, they led him to Caiaphas, okay, and he's standing there before Pilate, and he's being questioned and things of that nature. And Pilate's in 35, Pilate says, so Pilate begins, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him in 34, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate responds, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Verse 36. Jesus responded, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Jesus here is explaining that he is not a revolutionary. He's not there to overthrow the Roman government. They got a misconception. The people heard him say the kingdom when Jesus spoke, and they related it to the worldly kingdom on earth, and then they sent that message sometimes to Rome and the government, and then they got a little ticked off because now they're saying, wait, somebody's going to try to overthrow us, so that starts a stir. Same things we have today in a lot of our news cycles is they put these things out there to cause a stir in the groups of people, and they're doing those things today even. But anyway, as he's speaking this, it was not a political takeover, a revolution or any type. It wasn't like coming over like a military ruler. And he was saying that if it was the kingdom here on earthly political empires, that the followers that I have, we could take it by force. We could take it and wipe you out and there'd be nothing you could do. But the phrase not of the world means that his kingdom is originated from a divine place, from that of heaven. Jesus came from heaven. It's defined by spiritual truths and grace rather than borders and armies or political lines. And back then it was hard for people to understand that. And today you could probably share it with some people saying, you know, go out in the street sometime and tell somebody that I'm not of this world, I'm from a different kingdom. They would say, stand right there, we're going to go get a straitjacket, and we're going to put you in a committed asylum somewhere. They don't have a concept of another kingdom. They're focused on here and now, and the world, and this is what we are. But our world and our kingdom is not of this world, right? For that of a child of God. no threat to Rome by clarifying that his kingdom doesn't operate on worldly power, or his goal was to incite rebellion. Oh boy. Has anybody seen incitement on our continent over the last decade of times of just inciting things, of stirring up things, misrepresenting things? It wasn't even represented that way, but they represent it and they get it out enough and enough and enough and people start believing it and it stirs up so much. But his kingdom is defined by spiritual truth and grace. By clarifying that his kingdom doesn't operate on the power of what the world is, his goal was not to incite rebellion or to overthrow the local government. Jesus answered Pilate that he was no threat. Could have been if he wanted. Could have called what? Legions of angels to take him and not be on the cross. But no, he willingly sacrificed as that of the plan of God. But he was no threat. He never fought back. No matter how many times they hit him, bashed him, spit on him, mocked him. What about the spiritual rule that we have here? Rather than conquering territory or ruling through coercion or pressure, his kingdom exists to transform what? The hearts. He wants the hearts of the people changed. And we're going to do that through the truth of his word and through what? The love that his word is about. So many things that Jesus did, love. Love and forgiveness, turning the other cheek. It didn't matter. He would not fight back. Who in this world, in the natural, would not fight back sometimes when somebody would spit on you? Pluck your beard. Whatever the case is. But he stood there like a lamb before slaughter, before the shears, whatever it might be. Knowing that he was going to take all that abuse. And even though I could raise my hand and speak retaliation by a legion of angels to come and wipe this place out, he stood there. And so as we are ambassadors, we are serving a powerful kingdom, but it's under control. And it's under control because the kingdom is that of truth and love, grace and mercy. And we need to get that out there. We need to get into this country, this other, where we're at. We were born here for a purpose and a reason. Amen? But it's through love. One or two more scriptures here. What about we're in the world, but we're not of the world? We can just turn back to 17:16. John 17:16. Jesus is praying for himself, and then Jesus is praying for his disciples, and that's a beautiful relation there if you would read chapter 17. But where it gets down to, I'm going to be in 15, I guess. I'll start there. I do not pray, this is John 17:15-16. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He's talking about his followers. He's talking about the disciples. The disciples are gone, and guess who? We are now the followers of Christ. We're here now. And he is saying this, that he doesn't want God to take us out of here, even us today. But he wants us to be kept from the evil one. We're not of this world. Jesus wasn't of this world. We were at one time. This world had a lot to do with us. A lot of impartation of the worldly ways was, I guess, forced upon us, put upon us, whatever it might be. But with salvation and Jesus and cleansing and baptism, all these things that we get through that of the Word of God, that we have changed now. So, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you would should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The verse here is speaking that believers have a new spiritual identity. Wasn't that awesome? That we had a new spiritual identity. Lost in our sin at one time. But thank God, I'm free at last. So many people are shackled down. There's songs out there, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of care and pain and something like that. We all had that. We all went through that. But we are thankful that we received something. Somebody invited us. Somebody shared something. Or just the Spirit wooed us. We began to find excitement and interest in the things. So what's this all about, God? Many people ask that in their lives. What's my life about? What's going on? We look at America today and across the world, but we can look at our own country and go, what is this all about? What is going to take place here, Lord? All we need to do is continue to be the ambassador of God's kingdom here on this earth, here in this country, here in this state, and proclaim the love and the cleansing and the truth and all of that of God's word for people to hook up to. So we have a new spiritual identity when we receive that. And then we begin to, what once we lined up with the world's ways, what happened? We severed that and we begin to line up with the kingdom of heaven's ways. Thank God that I'm in his kingdom upon this earth. And I've said many times, as it speaks in his word, that the church is us, it's within us, the kingdom of God is within. So wherever you go, you're taking the kingdom of God out into this world. But we are not to align ourselves any longer with the world's values. And boy, when you start seeing the values of the world with clarity or clear eyes of that of what heaven would be, you would think this is a rotten place that it's turned out to be, that it is really degraded, that it's getting darker and darker. Gross darkness, right, is happening over the face. But anyway, we have a spiritual identity. Our loyalties do not line up with the worldly anymore. Jesus has set himself as an example for us to follow. He's given us a great example to follow, right? Couldn't think of anybody else that I'd want to follow than Jesus. We are to mirror that. We are to exemplify that. We are to show that to those around us, while believers are to be completely distinct in their moral values and beliefs. They are still physically placed in this world, and that's where we are to love others and to spread the gospel. It is so hard, but it is doable to be that, they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. We're not of the world, but we're here now for a temporary time frame. And don't discount that. Know that you have been charged with a great responsibility, and that you're not alone, and that God will give you the strength, give you the message. The message is already here, but the message that you share that particular time with that particular person will be in tune to that person, I believe, because the Holy Spirit is sharing with you, and this is what you're to share. And it's a great thing that God has designed for us, with God as our Father and Jesus as the one that helped reconcile us back to God, and now the Holy Spirit filling us and leading us and guiding us and giving us that strength as well. How many here feel the strength of the Holy Spirit on you when you're weak? When I am weak, he is strong. We wonder sometimes, like, I'm just so weak. Well, that's good. As we are weak, he is strong. God will work in you even greater, because once we're weak, we are able to put our stuff aside and my ability and my strength and my knowledge or whatever the case might be and rely totally upon God. And he will not fail. Amen. We shared this, and I brought this up back in Sunday school hour type, but God's ambassadors are to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. And I'll just close with this, and we've read it back there, but Matthew 10:16, New King James says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves." Jesus sends his followers into dangerous and into an unbelieving world. It is dangerous out there. Many have lost their lives for proclaiming the gospel, right? And it's an unbelieving world. So much unbelief out there. But I also believe there's a lot of change taking place that we're not sometimes privy to. that the Spirit of God is moving and changing multiple lives in multiple countries and multiple places all over this world. Don't focus just on what you hear in America or see on the news or something that happens and they make it and they just blow it up to the point of the Christianity movement or something. There is a heavy movement going on, and it's going to just sometimes be just under the current of what's taking place in the country, but God is still moving and he's still fulfilling. And his plan will come to completion. So Jesus sends his followers into a dangerous, unbelieving world. To survive, we got to be wise as a serpent, which would be astute, cautious, and aware of traps, while remaining as that of an innocent dove. What are doves? Cute little things. I like to hear them in the mornings or in the evenings. I'm looking around. Sometimes it's an owl, but sometimes it's a dove. They're pure, harmless, and free of malicious intent. I don't think I've ever seen a dove attack something. They're like, ooh, I'm out of here. You know, some mean birds out there. But no, innocent as a dove. Be pure. Be harmless. Don't be a threat to those. Well, we are a threat when you start proclaiming the gospel. But don't be a threat to those that you're speaking to. Share it in love. Being empowered by that of the Holy Spirit is where it comes in at as far as that of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I thank you and I love you. I love you, Lord, for your word. At times, Lord, it's simple. There's not a lot that we should read into it or add to it, Lord. We take your word as it says. Even when we don't understand it, Lord, we can still accept it to the point of, Lord, teach me, help me. And Lord, I thank you that you have us on a mission, a kingdom mission, heavenly kingdom, oh, hallelujah, to spread your good word, your good news. I'm so thankful that I hooked up to it. And those that are here today, I'm sure they're thankful that they're hooked up to it. And we want to know more about it. We want to grow in it. We want to continue to develop in it. And we do it by that, Lord, of just reading and meditating on your word. And yes, Lord, we get into the meat of the word. And we're able to actually understand it a little clearer. We thank you, Father, for the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us. It is so great to hear from you, Father. And I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will just continue to process your word in all of our lives. Let us stand out as those that you would be happy to have representing your kingdom as ambassadors upon this earth. Let us not let you down. Let us exemplify you to the highest realm of love and grace. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.